for the last few weeks, we've been hearing messages about examining ourselves. And rightfully so. It's that time of year, when we look to into ourselves to see what we need to do and where we need to change and what we need to acknowledge within ourselves as we prepare for the Passover. And we've been given many words of wisdom to take to heart as we examine our lives to see if we are putting away the sins that we need to put away and growing closer and more in tune with God. And it is the time of year that we pray and we study and we fast to get closer to God so we can better understand His ways and what He wants from us, His plans for us. But it's not the first time that we have done these things, and hopefully won't be the last. You see, we do these things every year in remembrance for us to better understand ourselves, to understand why God put us here and what has been His goals and His intentions for us. It's something we have to look inwardly to understand, brethren, to study. You see, God began life with one simple goal in mind, to recreate Himself. And that's what He's done, to create sons and children of God. And we have all read the scriptures in the book of Genesis where it says that God created humans in His likeness. That's us. That's what He did. That was His goal. That's what He did with us. And in doing so, He also gave us the ability to develop holy and righteous character. Now, God knew and understood how important it was for humans to have free will. To have free will. The freedom to choose. To make decisions on how we live our lives. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. God has set before us, brethren, things we must look at and choose. We must choose right from wrong, good from evil. Every day we must look at the things around us and make choices. Choices, brethren, we choose to sin or not to sin, to put away the faults from our past or not, to become a better Christian or not. All of these things in our minds require us to choose. But before we can make a choice, we must first make a judgment. We must judge the circumstances, the surroundings, and hopefully, with the consequences of our actions firmly in our mind, we make a right choice. God made every one of us with a judging mind. And we're constantly, every day in our thoughts, judging something or someone. Think about it. We walk down, we see someone. Wow, that girl's prettier. That guy, he's really a nicer guy than I am. That family, they're better parents than I am. We judge. We see their car. We see their house. Wow, I wish I had a house like that. We see so many things that we want to judge. We want to look at and we want to understand. Constantly, every day. Look at how it affects the media, television, advertising. Everything is geared to make us judge a situation or a product or a person, to make us want to choose what they have chosen so we can be as smart as them, as pretty as them, have the same figure that they do, have the same strength that they do. So many things geared to make us want to choose what they do, to convince us, anything to convince us to make their choice. Look at all the TV shows that deal with laws and judging. You got the Judge Judy programs and those kind of things. You got Law and Order, The Practice, all these different programs talking about judging. And you have the reality shows where the judges are hearing real cases off the street. And they make a judgment on all of that. And these shows make millions of dollars for the network and the people participating in them. Even in God's Word, brethren, we see a courtroom analogy. Let's turn to Ezekiel 22 and verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 1. over, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Now, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city, yet show her all her abominations? And back in Isaiah 41 and verse 21. Isaiah 41, verse 21. Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. And over just a page or two, Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Tell and bring forth your case. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. So we see, brethren, there are different aspects, different things that God has mentioned in the Bible, different ideas that He's presented as far as judging, even going so far as to compare it, a case, and making a case. And we have a responsibility as Christians to know right from wrong, God's truth, and to make proper judgments. Paul told the saints in the New Testament that someday we would judge the world, even the angels. It is something that is coming in the future, something we have to look forward to, something that will be a responsibility for us to learn. The decisions we make today, how we are living our daily lives, will determine whether or not we are worthy to make these judgments in the future. As we continue to prepare for the Passover, and we read the passage from 1 Corinthians 11, we see that God instructs us, we are not to judge our brothers. Let's go to 1 Corinthians verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11. We read this during the Passover service. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. We are to judge ourselves, brethren, our own conduct. That's what we're to be looking at right now. As we're preparing for the Passover, that's where we're to be looking at. Not those around us, but ourselves to look at and to see where we need to change, what we need to do. To look inwardly, to judge ourselves properly, and then God won't have to. You see, brethren, in the big picture, this evil world we find ourselves living in, we have the accuser, the prosecuting attorney seeking to destroy us, and that would be Satan, the devil. But because of God's love for His children, He gave us our own defense attorney when He allowed Christ to come to this earth and be crucified. Well, I know, brethren, that this is a pretty long introduction to this sermon. But I want you to understand something about this principle of judging, before I give you the title of my sermon today. And the title of my sermon today is Judging God. And that's a little different topic and a little different name and a way of putting it than we're probably used to looking at. A little different than we would usually consider. And I'm sure most of you probably think it's a strange title, maybe even a stranger thought to be approaching after we just read that God expects us not to judge Him, but to judge ourselves. That's what God has instructed us. But today I want us to look at an aspect, a point of view that maybe we haven't thought of before, or maybe it's just been a long time and we've forgotten. In this world we live in today, brethren, oftentimes it is God that gets the blame when there is a storm or a tragedy that occurs. You've all heard that. They always say it's an act of God, right? It's an act of God, that storm, whatever it was. It's an act of God. Your insurance, if you go to make a claim, they'll say, well, that's not covered. It was just an act of God. You see, they say, all humans will look at it. They will talk about it or think about it in this way. And it's something that happens, and when we look at it and face the situation, no matter what it may be, we can't find another explanation, another way to explain how a tragedy like this could have happened. So God is the one that ends up getting the blame. This unseen and unknown being that most of this world does not know gets judged for being at fault. People have to make choices. They have to have everything in a neat little box so they can understand it. So when something like this happens, our human nature tends to look at it and say, well, okay, I can't find any other thing that to put it, so it's got to be God's fault. I can't find any other reason. It wasn't me. It has to be God's fault. And we want to put it in that neat little box, whatever goes on, whatever tragedy, whatever trial, whatever test we've gone through, we want to find a place to place the blame. And way too much of the time, we try to place it on God. And people, brethren, this unseen, unknown being, the people of this world, they're looking for closure, somewhere to place the blame on a being that we've never seen, and the majority of this world doesn't know. It reminds me of that little kid that's asked. You remember this. You know, when you're little and something gets broke, a lamp, a vase, whatever, and the parents say, who did this? Not me. I picture this little kid running around with a shirt that says, not me, on it. And, man, he has got so much to answer for. Because he's sitting there with the other guy. I don't know. That's it. I don't know. I don't know, and not me. They're sitting together in the corner going, hey, you did it this time. It wasn't me. You see, that's how I look at it. When people are trying to think of how this all relates to them, and they have this being out there that we can't see, we can't touch, how do we put our faith in that? We can't see it. God isn't standing in this room where we can physically touch Him, see Him, but we have to have the faith in Him. We have to find that faith. We have to understand it. But when we are first called by God and we started to learn about His way of life, one of the first things we had to do was to make a judgment of God. Let's turn to Acts 17 and verse 16. Acts 17 and verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to to idols. Wow, I really need my glasses. Woo! Hold on. Oh, there the words are. Just had to get further away. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Verse 19, and they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? Verse 20, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. And let me just stop there for a second, brethren, because you think about this. I mean, does this sound familiar? Do you remember when God called you and all these new things that were presented to you? And they were strange things to your ears. They didn't make sense. They didn't make sense because they were so different from what you'd grown up with, what you had learned, what you knew. Things that God seemed to put and open to you in the beginning. What do you mean I can't eat this? What do you mean I got to keep this Sabbath and these holy days? And tithing, are you kidding? I got to tithe? What is all of this? All these things that seem strange to us because they were different. So we had to look at what God was opening our mind to, and we had to make a judgment on whether or not we were going to follow these new things that we were taught. Did they apply to us? Did we understand them? And a lot of times we don't. So we have to do it based on faith. So many things that we have to learn. Reading on in verse 21. For all the Athenians and foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you are worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or men's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. This is a passage, brethren. This is something where we learn about this unknown, unseen God we're instructed to worship. We've been instructed to worship him. Yet when he revealed himself to us, and when we began to be called and understand, we had to make choices, and we still have to make choices daily. We had to look at what God was presenting to us and say, I agree with that. I understand that. I see that. I want to follow that. We had to make those choices. We had to learn to follow the instruction, to follow the being that we couldn't touch or see. And as time goes on, God reveals through his word more of himself to us. He gives us more of his Holy Spirit so we can grow, so we can be faithful in learning how to love him and to be faithful and learn how to love our brother. Let's turn back to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Again, a familiar scripture to all of us. Matthew 22 and verse 37. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This passage, brethren, we read over and over and talk about how important it is for us to understand, how important it is for us to love our brother and to love God above all things, to understand God's laws and his ways. Yet when we begin to learn about this unseen God, these thoughts that were foreign to us, they were something we didn't understand. So we tried to find as much information about it as we could. We were thirsting for knowledge, and we still should be. We still should be thirsting for that knowledge, that God has opened our minds to understand, so we can make a choice, so we can understand enough to judge God. Is he really there? Is he really going to help us? Is he really there and going to fulfill the promises he has given us? And is he worthy of my worship, my life, my love for him? Am I willing, after weighing all the options, making my choices, judging the information, to give myself totally, unconditionally to him? Am I willing to surrender my life totally into his hands, to love him and worship this unseen being more than I love my wife, my children, and even my own life? It's about faith, brethren. It's about faith. And it's funny to me today because we were looking for somebody to speak, and Mr. Perryman stepped up and he spoke. And I listened to him speak, and I listened to the words he said, and I thought, you know what? How dare I question if God is here or not? How dare I question him and his ability to be here for us? Because he showed me, when he turned to the same scripture, Luke 14 and verse 26. Let's go there, Luke 14, verse 26. Beginning in verse 25, now great multitudes were with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate or love less his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do I question whether or not God chose the message to give today? I don't. I believe totally in the faith that God has shown in such a small thing right here today. It's what he's doing. It's his way. It's His life we're to be following. It's His way of living and understanding and growing in love for one another that we're to be following. And we do it because of our faith. Our faith in something we can't see, but we are convicted it is there. That's what's important. That's what we have to remember. We have to make this choice, brethren. As we are called into this body, we must choose to love God above all else. If not, God states, we are not worthy. We are not worthy to be His disciples. That makes this time before Passover a little more special. It makes it a little more important as we delve deeper into our minds to look at ourselves, to understand what God wants us to see, to understand the purpose that God has given us and why we are here. We've all, brethren, gone through tests and trials, our blessings and our cursings, to put God first above all else. Above all else, are we really able to do that? As Mr. Perryman said, our cars, our house, our great job, do those things get in the way of us putting God first? Because they can't. God doesn't want that. He doesn't allow that. It's not within His way of life. That way of life that says you will love me above all else and you will put me first. And that's what He's looking to find in each and every one of us. Are we willing and able to do that? Do we love God more than we love ourselves? And are we showing Him that love and that commitment on a daily basis? I know that we all have questions. I know that we go through times when we read something and it doesn't make sense to us. And yet we still want to follow it. We have to. And we do so because of our faith that it's God's word. We do so because we know God has promised it to us. We know we have that blessing. We know we have that future. And so we do it, even though we don't understand. Even though it seems strange to us why things happen and how they have happened. And it's okay to have those questions. Isaiah 1:18 tells us that we can come and reason together. God understands us and knows that sometimes we stumble and sometimes we need the help and the encouragement of our brother. The help and the encouragement of all of us in here. All of us who are part of the body and have the chance to help one another. God understands that. Look at how many extras He's given us to share with. To have that chance as we go through our tests and trials. As we go through our hard times. I know it's a lot to think about and a lot to practice. To be doing God's will always. Christ tells us, going back to Luke 14 and picking it up in verse 28. Luke 14 and verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Verse 29. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. We have to count the cost. We have to be growing and changing so we are worthy to be His disciples. We are instructed to worship and obey God. Back in Acts 17, verse 28. We read this earlier. I'm not going to turn there right now. But Acts 17, 28. It tells us we have to follow God. We have to understand. Now, you know what? Let me go there. I did not write that all down. Sorry about that. 17, verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We have God in our lives. He is there for us. He is there to help us. He is there to guide us, to protect us, to provide for us, to give us everything we need without question, without judgment. We have to understand we have a responsibility to love Him. God cares for us. We have to do our part. Because of this unknown, unseen God that has been revealed to us, we live. We exist for no other reason except for what God has shown and God in His mercy. We have been given insight and understanding of God's plan and His future for mankind. God has given us His blueprint through His words in the Bible. And we can read it and learn about God and His mercy, His love and sacrifice He made for us. There are good things to learn, and sometimes there are challenging things for us to learn. But it all is given to us to judge, to make choices based on the knowledge and the understanding that God has revealed to us. We evaluate the things we read to look at the stories. Are they real or are they legends? The stories in the Bible, the stories of Noah, of Moses, of Abraham. You go through and you read all those stories and you have to make a judgment. Are they real? Do you believe in that God that you can't see? Do you believe that this is His word? We have to, brethren. We have to prove it, believe it, and build that faith in Him and know it comes from Him. Choices, brethren. We learn to show God that we want to know Him and love Him. We don't just worship and follow God with blind obedience out of fear. If we did that, well, think about it. If God really wanted us to just worship Him out of fear, to not truly love Him, how easy would it be? Take away our food and water. I'll feed you. I'll give you something to drink, but you got to worship me first. He could control it all so easily. If that's what He wanted, if He wanted to force us out of fear to worship Him. But that's not what He wants. It's not what He's looking for. He wants us to do it because we believe and love Him in faith. And that faith is what drives us to follow Him, to do His will, to seek Him first, and to love His ways above all else, above ourselves, above our family, above our physical things. That's what God wants to see in us. That's what we're to be looking at, to understand right now. Are we getting it? Are we making the changes in our lives to grow and become like that? As we are looking inward at ourselves before Passover, are we able to see the growth within us? The changes from last year to now. The changes that show God that, yes, we love You more and more. And yes, we still sin. And yes, we still make mistakes. But we are trying. God, forgive me and let me and help me to change. He has always given us choices, brethren. We have to choose to love and to follow Him. We have to look at His promises to us and make the choice to obey or not. It comes down, brethren, it's a choice we make. Free moral agency. You all have heard that term. It's that thing we have that the animals don't have. It's that thing that allows us to look at a set of situation, a set of facts, a set of understanding, a way of understanding, and then to make a choice to do it or to not do it, right or wrong, good or evil. We all have that choice. That's what makes us different. And that's what God gave us. Because God wants to see us choose right. To choose and obey and to follow Him. We can judge for ourselves based on what God has revealed to us if it is all true. Are we examining all things, proving all things, believing in the merciful God that has created us and given us the knowledge to make the right choices in our lives? Are we, brethren? When we look at ourselves honestly, are we doing what's right daily in God's eyes or just in our own? That's a tough one because a lot of times it seems so easy to make that choice. Well, it's close enough. But is it? Because God really expects more than that in our love for Him. He expects us to be more than that. He wants us to change. He wants us to do what's right in His eyes. Let's turn to Matthew 19 and verse 17. Matthew 19 and verse 17. So He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, if you want to become like God, what does He say here? Keep the commandments. If you want to enter into life, a life with God, then we must keep His commandments. God has given us the Sabbath. He's given us tithing, the holy days. But nothing is too difficult for us to do. Nothing is impossible for us to keep, to follow. It is a testing for us. It is challenging sometimes to make the right choices, to see if we are willing to do what He has asked of us. But it's never too hard. It's never more than we can handle. It's never too much, but it might feel that way sometimes. But brethren, God is faithful. He has promised to never forsake or leave us. Let's read that passage again. Hebrews 13:5. Again, the word of God, brethren, given to us to understand, to go over daily, to continue to grow in knowledge of His ways. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetous. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself, Christ, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is faithful to us, brethren. He is always and has always been there for us. 2 Chronicles 15, I think it's verse 2, 1 or 2, somewhere around there. It says that if we forsake God, if we turn our back on Him, He will forsake us. We do have a responsibility. We do have to do our part. It does not come with just, okay, I'm here. Go ahead, God, take care of me. We have to do our part, or God will forsake us if we forsake Him. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Brethren, we will all be tempted, but we all must endure as we go through the tests and the trials of our life. We must keep the commandments to love our neighbor, to love our brother, and to follow and love God and the ways of God. These are choices we make as we examine ourselves daily and how we choose to live our life. We make judgments daily on the things that go on around us. We must make sure that we don't go into the courtroom unprepared. We read and study to know the law. We do our homework to know that there is more evidence presented to us that God has been there and has always been there to help us, has been on our side. The end time prophecies that are going around us, we see them. We realize that they are promises from God. We build our faith and our character and our understanding, because we see God's hand in our lives and we can understand it. We can understand what He has shown us. And we have to be aware and be prepared for the other side, for Satan and his band of crooked lawyers. They want to come and take us. They want to take our crown. They want to find fault with us. They want to try and drive us to believe and to fear and to find a way to instill guilt and doubt in us, so we will forget what God has given us. And we have to be careful, brethren, because they're strong. They're able to do a lot. But God expects us to trust and faith in Him. He wants to see our faith in Him, to know that even if they try to deceive us and cause us to stumble, that if we turn to God, we will not fall away from God's truth and His plan. We will not give up our crown if we're not making wrong choices. We have to be careful daily that we don't make a wrong choice like Eve did. We all know the story of Eve. Eve looked at the situation, she made a judgment, and she made a wrong choice. And how about Pharaoh? We know the story of Pharaoh. Time and time he was presented with a way to get out, and he kept making wrong choices. Don't make a judgment on God and His promises to us that cause you to fall away from the truth. I'm not going to go there right now, but if you want to write down the passage in 2 Kings chapter 19 and beginning in verse 20. It is the story of Sennacherib. And he judged that God was incapable of resisting his armies at Jerusalem. He looked at the situation and he truly thought that he was right. But he made a wrong choice. And we have to look at these examples and understand that many have made wrong choices, including us at times. But we have to change that. We have to change the choices we make, that we are putting God and the love of God first, so we make right choices. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were told to worship an idol. They had a choice to make. Okay, let's see. God, I believe in God. I believe I'm faithful. Or worshiping this idol. Let's see. Which way do I want to go with this? Well, you know what? They had enough faith to go, I'm doing it. Go ahead, throw us in the fiery furnace. If that's what's to be, then that's what's to be. And our faith will live by it. And God took care of them. He protected them. He brought them out because of their faith. Because they loved God and wanted to follow God more than anything. They were willing to give up their life for that chance to follow and love God. That's what he's looking for in all of us, brethren. They made a judgment based on their belief and faith and chose to do what was right instead of worshiping an idol. Sometimes, brethren, for us, sometimes we just don't get it. We don't understand and we come to wrong conclusions or we make bad choices. We might think that God or his Bible, his words, we read something and maybe at that moment we look at it and it seems unfair to us. It's just not right. We're missing something. We're looking to place blame in the wrong place because it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair to us. We don't have the full understanding yet. God, maybe we even get to a point where we think, well, God doesn't really care for us. He's forgotten us. But then we have to go back. We have to read the scriptures. And we know that's not true. We know that God has promised to never, ever leave us. That he will never give us more than we can handle. Maybe there are situations we don't understand and we question ourselves. Can I trust God? Have I made the right choices to judge him correctly? Am I looking at God in the right way and understanding that he has given all these things to me and I can't even see him? But I have to believe totally in him. And we question ourselves. We question our own faith. And it makes us stumble. And we have to look at the things that God has given us in the right perspective. We have to learn, brethren, to make the choices and to make the right judgments based on God's truth. Based on what he's given us right here in his word. He's given us everything we need to trust in him, to rely on him. Do we believe in the promises he gave us, the sacrifice that he made for us? Can we walk simply by faith because we totally believe in his love and promises to us? Even if we don't truly understand at that moment, are we willing to follow him and believe in faith the promises he has given us to make the right choices in our lives? Maybe we don't have all the answers. Maybe we don't have a clue what to do. Maybe it just takes us putting that aside and telling God, I trust you. I will follow you in faith, even though I don't get it. And that's hard. Because that human nature in us, that carnality, that ability that lets us make a choice, that's a hard one to make. To say, I don't know, but I'm going to follow God anyway. Because I trust in him. He gave us the answers. God, you know, maybe there are times when we even think that, well, maybe God, he didn't strike down or punish us when we did something wrong. Maybe we're okay. right? Yeah, it was wrong, but nothing happened. No lightning hit. Maybe it was okay. We can trick ourselves into thinking that way. We can convince ourselves that, yeah, it could be that way. Maybe we even see other people in the world that have sinned. We know it's sin, and yet they're prospering. And we're like, God, well, how are you allowing them to prosper? We're struggling here, and these sinners, you're letting everything go. What's up with that? They're prospering. Look at them. And that envy and that jealousy and that hate and that anger starts to rear its ugly head, and we're like, okay, this just isn't right. We don't understand. We truly don't. But it's okay. It's all right we don't understand all the time. As long as we know that God is there and God makes the right decisions, we have enough faith to believe in Him. Let's turn to Jeremiah 11 and verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 20. We can't look at these situations, brethren, and think, well, maybe God just doesn't care if they're sinning. Maybe He's forgotten. We can't make a wrong judgment. Jeremiah 11 and verse 20. But, O Lord of hosts, You who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see Your vengeance on them. For to You I have revealed my cause. And chapter 12, verse 1, Righteous are You, O Lord, when I plead with You. Yet let me talk with You about Your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But You, O Lord, know me. You have seen me. And You have tested my heart toward You. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Isn't that how we think sometimes, brethren? Man, God, You know they're wrong. Just do it to them. Take them out. Whatever it takes, just take them out. We got plenty of people we can look at and see and wish that upon, right? And just look around the world. Look at the things going on. Our own human nature tends to be like this. We want to see God strike down our enemies, those we deem as enemies. We want to pass judgment on them for their actions, and God for His inactions. But that's not our right or our responsibility. We know that God, time after time, removed the blessings from Israel. He gave them the laws and commandments, but when they turned their back on Him, when they went back to their idol worship, He removed His blessings. Just like He will again in the near future, brethren, as He already has begun, removing the blessings from. We are to be watching and preparing, examining ourselves to see if we are prepared. Are we ready for what is to come? Imagine you were going to take a trip. Let's say we're all going to get together, and day after tomorrow, we're all going to jump in our cars, and we're going to drive to California, every one of us. Maybe not all in the same car, but we're going to go anyway. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be the greatest camping trip we've all been on. Would we set out on that trip day after tomorrow without checking out the car, making sure the tires were good and the brakes were good, and making sure we packed the right things to take with us? Making sure we were totally prepared for this trip, that we examined everything about it to make sure we fulfilled every responsibility we needed to make this trip work out in the easiest way possible. We would do everything we could to be prepared. And we take this time right now to reaffirm to God the covenant we made with Him. We're examining our own selves right now. We're examining the covenant that we made with God when we were baptized. We're examining that right now to make sure that the tires are full of air, to make sure the oil's been changed, to make sure that we got a full tank of gas in our personal lives. That's what we're doing right now as we prepare for the Passover. As we prepare, we examine ourselves to make sure we are ready also. We show him we are happy, that we are happy with him. We are happy with the covenant. We are happy with the choices we have made. We show God our commitment to our covenant and that we have judged it to be a good covenant. We have judged him to be a good God, a merciful and a loving God. We understand that principle. We understand and know that even though we have sinned and sometimes made wrong choices, that God will forgive us when we repent and show him our faithfulness and our commitment to him. Our faith, brethren, building that faith in that unseen being, that unknown God that exposed himself to us when we were called, that we didn't understand in any way, but yet we are now growing in that understanding to more fully understand what is to come and to prepare ourselves to be ready. There are many scriptures and psalms that we could see God is merciful, that our iniquities are covered, that he forgives the sins of our youth, and blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. We know this, brethren, so we can learn to walk by faith, not by sight. And that's the hard part, to walk in faith and not by sight. To judge faithfully even the things we don't fully understand when God is involved. So remember, brethren, when we choose to obey, we are making a judgment of God and what we believe that he is. When we choose to disobey, then we are judging that God either can't or won't keep his promises and his blessings that he's promised to give us. For the last scripture, let's turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. We read here about a living faith, brethren, a faith in Sarah. Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was able to make a righteous judgment because of her faith. Brethren, she did. Can we?